It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:02 on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You've got to have some thoughts on your Houston Texans yesterday. You got to have, I don't even know. You know, it's just so boring and so played out. Did you guys see? Uncle Freddie was there. Freddie Gouveia was there. And he tweeted to me and Lance, and he said, dude, it's 75% Packer fans here. 75%. I mean, you want to talk about if you could have a full house, what? How many people would have showed up?
I don't want to say like Texans fans are stupid. They keep doing the same thing over and over. This happens all the time, and
well,
they still show up.
Listen, they buy the tickets, but they don't show up.
They'll tailgate and stuff like that. Still,
yeah, they'll sell. No. They'll have, no, you got immediately you've got 50,000. You've got 50,000 immediately. But that other 30 is pretty, I'm telling you, or is it 20 more? 20 more, 72,000 I think is what it is. I'm telling you, I don't think you can count on, and we've seen empty seats for a big Monday night game when they were winning 9 straight games because nobody believed, everybody knew it was fool's gold. This team right now, how many people would go?
Maybe 60.
Maybe. No, there'd be more than, I think there'd be more than 12,000 empty seats.
Yeah, you might be right.
I mean, this is, I don't know. Listen, and you go, even college football games and people love, like Ohio State, I was shocked. And how, now, I'm sure that they give less, but, get, you know, they're going to limit the number of tickets, and they're going to make sure that they're all, you know, and everything else. Those people are rabid fans. I'm sure that they would try anything to get into that building. Anyone you know, hey, I want to get in, I want to see the game, blah, blah, blah. I think people are changing. I think people are like, I lived without sports just fine, and I think we're seeing that in the numbers and the ratings. Is that people are saying, I'm okay, not I'm all right, actually. I don't have to have this like I used to have it.
Well, especially, it's not the same. It's like going to a game and things like that is not the same as it would have been pre-COVID. Because so even if you do get to go in, it's not like you're just, yeah. You know, you got to sit there in the stands with a mask or whatever. Like, nobody's, people definitely don't want to do that for teams like the Texans, like with what they're playing like right now. Who would want to do that? Who wants to make extra steps to go watch bad football?
Well, and you can't tailgate. And so that's even – they've taken – but listen, LSU, it asked, hey, you want tickets? No, I'm fine. Because it's not going to be the same. The best thing about going to an LSU game is the tailgate before and then sitting in traffic for 4 hours after. That's the best thing about it. I mean, it's so much – that you know, it's so much fun, the game day atmosphere – but I ain't interested in going when I just got to walk into the game. No,
you
thanks.
You sat through that during the Les Miles offense years? The 4 hours after pitching up
dude.
The middle with the fullback and it all that is, stuff? Then you decided to sit in traffic for 4 hours after that?
Well, it is, and it's the worst getting out of stadium I've ever been to. The worst. I mean, because there's so, I mean, I don't know. There's only like two ways to get out, and it's and the police, they don't care. They just sit there while everybody is just – you will sit after an LSU game for literally an hour and not move.
Yeah, that's how it is after Texas games too, because at Texas you're basically parking in a garage, and while it's difficult to get out of parking lots, parking garages are even tougher to get out of because nobody wants to let you back out. Nobody wants to stop when they get a chance to move up. I mean, it's just college football games in general, because they don't have these giant fields for parking lots. It's a pain in the ass.
No. People try. Yeah, when nobody will let you back up, and you just inch out and just say, "F it, I'm going. I'm coming." That's all. I'm coming. But the guy is sitting there behind you for 20 minutes and not moving either. So you're just trapped. That's the worst. The worst. No. Texas is bad too. Speaking of Texas, so they played the players stayed out for the Eyes of Texas. Chris Del Conte said, "Guys, you're standing outside. You're going to stand out there for Eyes of Texas." I thought a pretty good decision.
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's kind of the decision that Chris Del Conte had to make. And I don't know if things have toned down or like calmed down enough with the players that they were like, you know what, this isn't as big of a deal as we were making it to be. I'm sure they put out that manifesto with all the demands. I'm guessing a bunch of those demands were met, and they're probably like, okay, the song's not that big of a deal. Let's just do it. I mean, because at some point it's a negotiation, right? And I'll say this. If those band kids came up to me and I'm Chris Del Conte, the band kid said, "We're not playing that song." You say, "Good. You're not going to be in the stadium. Also, your scholarship's going away. Bye."
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough enough to deal with these athletes that are actually making you a bunch of money.
Right.
Like, but I wouldn't take a damn bit of guff from band kids. You know, we'll find some band kids who want to come in here and play, okay? We'll give them the funny little costume and the cowboy hat, or we got a pretty good sound system here. We'll play it. We'll play your greatest hits over the sound system, over the PA. But I would not take any lip from those band kids. And I think that's probably what it came down to, because those band kids that thought they were all big bleep, when it came down to it, they were out there tooting their horns.
Right. No.
Well, Del Conte had set it up where he issued the edict that everyone should have stood, but he did that initially. And the football team was the one that was like, "We're not going to do it. You can't make us do it." And I don't – so it was already in place, and they were just defying an order. He didn't come down with something new. So I was reading that the players were like, "You know what? Let's just do this, because we don't want to talk about this anymore."
Well, I'll also say this. You think if Texas football was 4-0, 5-0, that they would – I mean, maybe they'd be in a little bit different position.
Yep.
Where they could say, "No, we're not going to go out there and stand."
No, that's
they're
exactly
sitting here.
Right.
They suck. And now it's like, okay, we'll do it. We'll do what you say.
Yeah, apparently Del Conte met with the football team this week, and I guess they came to some resolution about it. But they had been saying, "Screw you, we're not going to listen to you all year long," because he told them to do it anyway. So it came to a head, I guess, this week, and they decided to do it and followed a victory. So all's well that ends well, I guess, until the next time.
Well, I think they're going to go out there. No, I'm with you. Yeah, if a volleyball team comes up and says, or the rowing team, or the whatever,
nobody's
"Hey, we're not
that.
Doing okay." Then know what? That's great.
Beat it.
The volleyball team. The volleyball team's pretty good, right? I don't know.
The volleyball team doesn't make them any money, though.
Yeah, that's the question. How much money do you make us? That's it. I mean, because if not, oh well.
At Texas, the basketball team barely makes them any money. They may tell the basketball team to piss off. The football team, they're like, "All right, let's work something out."
Shaka's like, "Guys, look, the only reason I get fired the last time because of COVID. So I'm no NCAA failure. So, guys, we're just going to do this, and hopefully we win some games. Please."
Yeah. Do you know how much money they spend on the basketball team? You know how much those players cost?
What?
They cost a lot of money.
Then they're like the Texans. They're overpaying at every position right
every
now.
Every position.
Some stones being thrown from the LSU fan talking about paying
players. Oh, LSU basketball, that is the mecca of cheating these days.
Yeah. The football team's not that great either, apparently, doing stuff.
It's what we do.
I'm for it.
I'm not against it.
But now we lost one of our major payers in Odell.
Banned for a couple years. Did anyone – well, he's injured, so he couldn't have been asked – look, I know you. It's about the team itself, but if I work for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, excuse me, Odell, forget about your knee injury, okay? I don't care about that. What's your take on the fact that you can no longer be at LSU games? I would ask him that immediately. because you had to hand out some cash. Now you're banned. Now your own program said, sorry, beat it for 2 years.
John, when
he's like, they suck now. Who cares?
They'll be back, and he'll
be back out there, yeah.
Did you all see T.J. Finley the other night?
Can you believe LSU couldn't find a quarterback to throw a forward pass consistently, and now they just pull true freshmen off the street and go light up a team?
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. It took them how long to be able to look competent? Joe Burrow walks in there, and now no matter who plays quarterback for LSU, they're now Oklahoma.
But I will say this, like, and it's happening. I read an article, and I pulled this up, and I pulled up a one about Joe Burrow too. Now it's like the media. As soon as somebody has a good game, it's like LSU freshman quarterback T.J. Finley, an emerging star. Like, how do we know? Can I play one game against South Carolina? Like,
yeah,
we don't know if he's good.
They're okay. South Carolina's
SEC
okay.
Defense.
It's all right.
No, SEC defense.
SEC is not playing defense.
SEC defense is no longer a thing.
That's not a thing. No one's buying that anymore.
Yeah, you can't say that anymore. Even Alabama's
letting
Guantanamo
score anywhere
points
anymore.
On them.
Well, that's because you had the under, so you're upset.
I'm glad. But the problem is when they have like pick sixes
and you're picking fumbles up off the ground and scoring.
So here's one about Joe Burrow after yesterday's game. So far, Joe Burrow is having the greatest season a rookie QB has ever had in NFL history.
What?
That's a headline? What? The guy played two good games in a row. Both losses, by the way. What are we talking about here?
You're talking to the wrong guy about this because you know John.
Yeah, he's having the greatest season ever.
The greatest rookie QB season ever. They're like five games with 300 yards. The last quarterback and a rookie to have five 300-yard games in a season, Daniel Jones. Whoa! This guy could be the next Daniel Jones.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's on pace to break the rookie passing record. Of course, you know, 9 touchdowns, 5 picks, and a rating of a QBR of 57.3.
57, yeah.
Yeah, it's great. But he's played well the last couple weeks, and he's throwing the football quite a bit. But
he's gotten better as the season's gone on. But
relax, everybody.
Let's not write headlines that he's, you know, the greatest rookie quarterback ever.
Look, I remember a time where Josh Allen sucked, then he was the MVP, and now, oh, no, he might suck again.
He sucks again, yeah.
Yeah. All of that
I remember that 3 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Is Joe Burrow having the greatest rookie
no.
season ever or not? Yes.
No.
The answer is yes.
Well, if you write for CincyJungle.com, then yes, he is.
No. He's having it's not even arguable. It's analytics.
It is arguable.
It's not arguable. Statistically, Joe Burrow's having the greatest season ever.
I would say this. He would be the first guy ever to have the greatest season ever while having games where he had a QBR of 7 and 17.9.
I'll give you something to sober you up a little bit, John. He's not even having a better year than Robert Griffin III had in his rookie year. You know, when he was a sensation and he led his team to the playoffs. Remember that? He's not having a better year
Joe
than
Burrow's
him.
Joe Burrow's going to the
greater
playoffs.
Year.
Russell Wilson's rookie year?
Greater year. Okay.
Dak Prescott's rookie year? No, he's not having better years than those guys. And by the way, some of those guys turned out to be not so good.
Yeah.
So let's relax a little
bit.
Relax a little bit. He had a couple good weeks, and that's
greatest
great for him.
Greatest year ever. Ever. Mm. That's my man, Joe Burrow.
I know you love
915 him. ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Time to talk about hoops and my man Keith Tate. Look, if you're looking for the best way, I'm telling you, the best goal, and it's not even close. Every other goal is inferior to the hoops goal. This is not arguable. This is a fact. This is analytics. Okay, I'm a numbers guy. I'm the numbers guy now on the show. Okay? And the numbers say that there is no better in the world goal than the hoops goal. Go see for yourself. I mean, go online, and what you're going to see is all the kids dunking on it. Well, they're little kids. They can't dunk. Oh, but you lower the goal so the kids can actually enjoy it. Dad, we want to have fun. You put up a 10-foot goal, we can't have any fun. But we can have fun on the hoops goal because we can lower it and raise it. And, oh, by the way, it's unrustable stanchion, tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim. It is fantastic. If you're looking for the best goal, period, exclamation point, all you got to do is go to ProDunkHoops.com. It's got all the accessories as well. It doesn't get any better than the hoops goal. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us on ESPN 97.5. Let's get John in here. Hey, John.
Yeah, let me talk a little to Deshaun Watson. You know, they're having a bad season, but, you know, in the three games without Bill O'Brien, they're averaging 30.6 points per game. And you know, we were talking about Deshaun earlier, is 23-something points over the course of the year, but it's 30.6 since Bill O'Brien's been gone. And then also, you got to look at the fact their defense is terrible, so they're always down, so they're always passing. So they know the defense knows they're passing. They got a terrible running back core, so they're not going to worry about, you know, worry about the presence of the run. And all things considered, I don't think he's doing too bad. I mean, they know the team can't run, so wait on the pass. You're losing. Wait on the pass. I mean, it's they know practically what he's doing before the play even starts. I mean, I wouldn't be down on him so much.
I mean, it's not like I don't think Deshaun sucks.
No. And who said we're down on Deshaun?
Well, we talked about some of the numbers being empty a little bit because
they are. I mean, his fourth quarter numbers. Fourth quarter numbers are great if you're winning games. winning time. If you put up big numbers in the fourth quarter and you go on to win the game, that's great. When you drive down the field twice at the end of a game that you're losing by 3-4 scores, those are empty numbers. And Matt Ryan's got a lot of those, and he's feeling kind of the same heat that Deshaun is. I don't think Deshaun is the reason they're not winning, but he's not the reason they're winning. So
I think Matt Ryan's numbers are different in that they're in close games all the time, and Matt Ryan's numbers are actually they're legitimate numbers.
Yeah.
Deshaun is so far behind at the end of games. He's only had two close games. I mean, so they're 1-6, and he's no. I mean, it's the same with Atlanta. But those are games that are coming down to the very last second. The teams are coming from behind, and they can't stop anybody. None of this is on. That's not on Matt Ryan.
No, that's true. And like I said, I don't want to make it sound like Deshaun is the reason they're losing games, because he's not. But Deshaun's not making big plays in the first half of games. They're happening once the game is already out of reach. Then suddenly Deshaun's able to hit the big pass because they're now playing really soft coverage. And the defense is backing off some.
How about the Packers in six games, opening drive, 5 touchdowns and a field goal. Texans, 7 punts.
By the way, speaking of punts, what's DeAndre Carter doing when he's like he's waving everybody away like he's 100% certain that ball was going into the end zone, and then it bounces at the 10 and they down it at the 2? Like,
What are you doing? Misjudged it a little bit?
A little? Like 10 yards?
Well, you know he wasn't even back there.
That's your job.
No, but he wasn't even back there.
He was like running back, right?
Yeah, because they put him up on the line of they for whatever reason they brought him all the way up to the line of scrimmage. What the hell?
This is the Bill O'Brien poor coaching. It's not gone. Like
well,
they
hired these guys.
They're still a very poorly coached team. There's some things they did on defense. I heard you mentioning it coming in, Jonathan Vilma, talking about what are they doing right now? Why are they doing this? This is a bad idea. Like, it really is. And I feel a little bit bad for Anthony Weaver, but I also, at the same time, I don't think Anthony Weaver's that good of a coach.
No, he's a first-year play caller, and it looks it. And, he doesn't have a lot of talent. But Vilma, who apparently is going to be a star, people were giving him so much credit yesterday for what he did. Vilma's telling you who also isn't a defensive coordinator, but maybe you shouldn't isolate Eric Murray on the only real receiving wide receiver threat the Packers have.
And press coverage. How stupid with no help over the top. I mean, how stupid. I think Anthony Weaver, I don't know about him being, for all I've heard about him is he is. The players love him and whatnot. I think he's a Vrabel kind of guy. Not a great coordinator, but oh well, he can be a great head coach. Because he can motivate guys, and he can be an executive, an administrator, as opposed to a coordinator. There's guys that aren't great coordinators that are. Vrabel's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, but you know what? We talked about this on our show the other day. Can we really judge Vrabel's 1 year as a DC, considering he was working for Bill O'Brien?
Well, this is one year of.
But now we're seeing Anthony Weaver. I mean, Bill O'Brien wasn't in the building yesterday.
We still got Bill O'Brien's guys. He's still got no corners. He's still got no pass rush.
But that doesn't explain what we saw yesterday, some of the decisions he's making.
No, that doesn't explain yesterday. No, yesterday is inexplicable.
Back to what John said a little bit as far as Deshaun and the numbers. You know the Texans didn't score a point in the first half?
No, they didn't. Yeah, no. You know why? Because that's the over I had yesterday was the Texans-Packers. I mean, how about do your part, Texans?
So as much as Deshaun is playing well, it was 21-0 at the half. The game was over at halftime.
It was over.
Yeah, and then the numbers started picking up in the second half when it was garbage time.
Well, after they kicked a couple field goals, like to make them feel better, they're like, oh, let's kick 21-3. That'll make it better. We'll be rough.
I did appreciate at one point someone, I forgot who it was, whoever the play-by-play guy was like, well, it's 21-13. 21-10, they're kicking a field goal. That's interesting math they're doing.
Yeah.
He didn't want to come out and go, hey, why aren't you guys going for it?
Yeah, but you go for it.
He was like,
well, and then they get the ball back again, and they're playing slow as opposed to up to playing. And even Vilma goes, they should play tempo here, shouldn't they?
Well, when you watch the Sunday night game, I don't know if you stayed up for it.
Yes.
But, I mean, At the end of the game, in both those teams, at the end of the game, I mean, obviously there's a pick that changed everything, but they both controlled the clock so well. They were running tempo well. Like, those teams know what they're doing. You can just tell the Texans don't know what they're doing when they've got the football.
And no, that was like watching. Honestly, watching that game last night just pissed me off even more.
Well,
honestly,
you have cheap Carlos Hyde doing what he was doing, and you have DeAndre Hopkins. And
well, and not only that, it's just like watching good football.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we don't get to watch good football. It's like, that's how football's supposed to be.
John, I've got good news. The next game is against Jacksonville. It's going to be good football again.
My God.
Good football is a relative term, I guess, for you. Because John, you're going to win the game.
You're going to be hurting Dell's team's draft picks.
Yeah, I will be upset about that.
There we go.
I'm not thrilled with the prospect of playing Jacksonville next week.
Yeah, the Dolphins fans are like, how the hell did the Texans get Jacksonville on the schedule twice?
Yeah, that's not fair.
Well, that's
honestly
division. That's the way it always is.
Tua could go for 320 and 3 TDs, and I'm still going to be a little upset if they beat the Jags.
Oh, think about this. And I've said this about the Browns, that's the game after the Jags. Yeah. Baker Mayfield, when you get a pass rush on him, Baker Mayfield sucks. I mean, he's a disaster. When you don't get a pass rush, you get what you got yesterday, and Baker Mayfield looks like Joe Montana.
Well, thankfully, the Texans can rush the pass.
Oh, Baker Mayfield's going to eat the Texans' heads.
So, at Jacksonville, they got to win that game. I mean, can you imagine them coming out of that 1-7?
I'm imagining it right now. They probably would have a number three pick overall.
Yeah, honestly, I would rather the Texans lose every game. I would rather them lose every game and then have to look at this thing and go, you know what, we've got to, like, JJ, go. Everybody, go.
I don't want Miami to have the second and the 33rd.
That's what the Texans get for doing what they did.
You know what happens? If they lose as many games as you want, you know, every time, the Dolphins will be picking third in the draft. And if you don't remember, this is the Texans pick, and the Laramie Tunsil, it'll be mentioned every
good.
Time.
Oh, yeah. That's what they get. That's what they get.
So at Jacksonville, at Cleveland, a loss. New England, here's a win. At Detroit,
New England,
what?
Here's a win.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jarrett Stidham and the way Cam
New England is terrible, dude. New England's terrible.
What team are you talking about them playing against?
You know, the
Texans.
The Texans are a better team than New England.
Based on what?
The Texans are a better team than New England.
Because they score points when it doesn't matter?
Cam threw for 98 yards,
Do you
dude.
Think the Texans' defense is going to hold him to 98
yes.
yards?
Yes.
No chance.
Oh, yeah.
No chance.
San Francisco and the Texans' defense, same thing.
Okay. Robert Saleh. Anthony Weaver, same guys.
The Patriots beat the Dolphins and the Raiders. They lost at the Seahawks by 5. They're not playing well right now.
It's not close.
The Texans only lost to the Steelers by 7. Okay. So
well, the Patriots and Seahawks was an actual game though. That it wasn't the Patriots didn't like say, oh well, we're not going to play in the second half like the Texans did. Like, it was a game
Texans
down to
led
the end.
At halftime.
Well, and then score a point.
And then then they quit.
They didn't quit. They decided we had the first half in the bag. It's over.
Deshaun was even tired back then.
He's tired. Deshaun's been tired.
Indy, that's a win at home.
What?
At Chicago, that's a win.
He's being John. Don't worry about it.
At Indy,
I don't understand how you keep this optimism, even when it's phony optimism.
That's a coin flip. Cincinnati, that's a loss.
Oh, Burrow's
and then
on the field.
Tennessee at the end of the year when everything is on the line.
For who?
For the Texans.
Probably knock the Titans out of the playoffs with that.
Seems likely.
Nah, that's a no. There's no way they knock the Titans out of the playoffs.
They're playing spoiler.
No chance.
News is that Lions game, it's on national TV, so everyone will see how good the Texans are.
Yes. No, they can go there and beat the Lions.
Well, I don't think so.
Is Matthew Stafford going to be upright? Because I don't think they're
going to. Yeah, Matthew Stafford's going to be the quarterback.
Is Marvin Jones going to not play? Is Kenny Golladay not going to play?
Doesn't matter.
Is DeAndre Swift not going to play?
Doesn't matter.
It seems to matter. Texans can't cover anyone.
Hockenson, they don't need. You know what? The Texans ain't worried about nothing like that. Not with that defense. Well, Texans ain't worried about it.
I can't wait for Eric Murray to be covering Kenny Golladay in the slot. Should be great.
Like bump cover, like right at the line.
And guess what they'll do? And especially, why are you playing up when the guy's in the slot and you're 3 yards away from him anyway? What the hell is wrong with you? That is so dumb. You can't press coverage in a slot. That is so dumb. Who do you see up? No defense does that with a safety on their best receiver. Who the hell does that?
Well, you saw who does it.
Oh, my gosh. 930 ESPN, 97.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Sucks, honestly. Man, this is new to me, so I'm going through it just like everyone else. This is my first time experiencing something like this, so I'm just learning on the fly, trying to stay positive, continue to lead the guys, continue to come to work each and every day and try to improve. And just trying to find ways to win and just continue to play hard do my job and not try to do too much and just kind of continue to do that. So, yeah, it's definitely new to me, and I'm just trying to, you know, find my way and continue to improve and, you know, have guys around me build me up, and I build them up, and, you know, we just stick as one.
Everybody's building each other up. Going to build each other up. Hey, I've never seen JJ like he was yesterday. I mean, Deshaun is still putting on a good face. JJ ain't putting on no good face.
Is JJ not in the Rock Boys? Is he not allowed to be in that?
No, he's not a Rock Boy.
Oh.
No. Whitney's a Rock Boy. Whitney had half a tackle yesterday.
Because it'd be cooler if JJ was over there playing air drums or something. Like, that
would, like, he'd be a drummer.
Yeah, that'd probably really pick things up.
That's not Rock Boy. You don't play air drums.
What?
You play guitar.
It's a band. You need a drummer.
Guitar. How many guitar players are you going to have? And Deshaun
band is all guitar. You don't know nothing about Rock Boys.
No. Deshaun doesn't play guitar. He just stands up when Whitney gets down on a knee and plays in front of him. And then Deshaun dances like he's Freddie Mercury with a towel behind him. Like he's...
He doesn't do that.
He did do that. I saw it yesterday in the video.
No, he
thought
was
he playing guitar too.
Guitar.
No, he started dancing.
Not like Freddie Mercury, though.
He did dance like Freddie Mercury. No. All hips, baby.
You're out
Freddie's
here.
A whole different deal. No, Deshaun ain't dancing like Freddie Mercury. Do you see his girlfriend? He ain't dancing with the cookbook.
Well, I'm not saying that he's, you know.
He's not saying he's completely like Freddie
Mercury. No, there's differences.
You could have went with Mick Jagger, but you went with Freddie Mercury.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, for a reason.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't think he's like Freddie Mercury at all.
Hey, Deshaun, would you?
I saw him playing basketball with Mia Khalifa.
Hey, Deshaun, you like to enjoy yourself on the field and dance. Would you say you have a Freddie Mercury vibe?
Let's get who is it though?
Deacon.
Oh, Deacon. Let's get Deacon in here. Hey, Deacon.
Oh man, you guys are too much in the morning, man. Listen, I want to touch on Deshaun real quick. I'm going to preface this by saying, though, that we're not going to steal his joy because he told us that in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So, but just to say this, elite and even just really good quarterbacks, man, they don't go 1-6. Like, even crappy teams, man, a good quarterback can drag them to 500 records. Fitzpatrick goes 500 every year, man, no matter what team he's on. So this thing being 1-6 with a really good quarterback, man, he's just – it's not there yet. Look at the crap stacks that Andrew Luck was dragging to the playoffs every year, man, you know, when he was around. So you just – and it's not just not winning. If you don't look at the final score and you watch the game from pistol to pistol, they're not in these games, man. They're not in they're not competing. Good quarterbacks, even with mediocre teams – they can play for 3.5 quarters with a good team. The Texans are starting to look like one of the greatest collegiate teams ever. That's all I can say, bro.
Yeah, really, really piss poor. There's no question. There's no question. Piss poor. You know, he makes a point. We haven't seen – I mean, you don't see really good quarterbacks –
I mean, you've like seen this. It with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's a former MVP.
Yeah.
But he's also – Matt Ryan's probably also, at least on the decline of his career, Matt Ryan didn't just get handed, you know, one of the five biggest contracts in NFL history. So that's a little concerning, I would say.
No, he got handed that before.
Right. Yeah. But he's also won an MVP and been to a Super Bowl. I mean, at least with Deshaun, it's all like – here on potential that still hasn't quite been met. And now, I mean, do you feel like you're getting closer to meeting it? I sure don't.
Well, I don't know. Again, I'm not blaming Deshaun for this. He's actually playing some pretty good football. And I think Rack made a point, you know, hey, what about those critical plays that you got to have? Is he playing great? No. He played great last week against Tennessee. I mean, he played great last week.
He did.
There's nothing more he could have done. But he's playing well. I mean, you certainly can't put it on him. This is all squarely on Bill O'Brien. Squarely.
Deacon, the one thing that struck with me was, is this roster as worse than those Colts rosters that Andrew Luck was dragging to the playoffs?
Oh, it's yeah. It's probably close. I mean, you got to remember that that Andrew Luck team, that was when they got him, they were coming off a season where Peyton Manning had a broken neck, and they were
the worst team.
Awful.
They had a number one overall pick for a reason.
Awful. I don't know if this team's that bad, but
so that's his point. If Andrew Luck is dragging that bad roster,
Deshaun Watson's not as good as Andrew Luck. Well, that's just a simple fact.
Yep.
That's okay. Even I don't. That's not like expecting Deshaun to be better than Andrew Luck. That's a bar beyond what I'm hoping for. I'm just hoping for Deshaun to be like competitive in games. That would be cool.
That's not cool.
I think Andrew Luck was one of the greatest talents. When Bruce Arians, who coached Peyton Manning, and he coaches Tom Brady, and he coached Carson Palmer, and he coached Ben Roethlisberger, was asked, but put the all of the different aspects of a quarterback, put it in combine them all, and who would you come up with? And he goes, Andrew Luck. Bruce Arians thought Andrew Luck was the perfect quarterback. And you know what? I don't think we can ask. Now, that said, until this year, Deshaun had been dragging mediocre rosters to the playoffs.
But the
Texans done the same thing.
True. I'm trying
to. DeAndre Hopkins was here, too. He was pretty damn good.
Yeah, but the rest of the roster was, too.
I mean,
he had Clowney on one of his teams.
Consider
right?
the Texans this offseason lost the best player on their offense and the best player on their defense in the same offseason. From a talent standpoint, they got way worse this offseason. So, and Deshaun hasn't been able to overcome that.
Yeah, I wouldn't call DJ Reader their best player defensively.
Who was their best player defensively last year?
I would say Zach Cunningham was.
I'd check Pro Football Focus. I think DJ Reader was.
How much of DJ Reader's play helped Zach Cunningham?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
And now that he's not there, we don't see Zach Cunningham.
Yeah, now Zach Cunningham, like, did some wizard come put a spell on him that made him worse, or is he just not being helped out anymore?
And let's not forget, and JJ.
Well, JJ didn't play. How many games did he play last year? Eight? Half the season? And he wasn't great.
I mean, JJ's played. JJ's playing well. He's one of the only guys this year that I'm like, oh, he's playing pretty well.
Yeah. No, he's playing well.
Really think what kills, I say what kills, what confuses people about Deshaun and makes people think that he's doing everything he can to win these things. When you look at the if you just look at stats at the end of the game, you go, man, yesterday's game is another great example. It's 309 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. You're like, damn, Deshaun balled out. But if you watch the game, I mean, Deshaun wasn't bad, but he wasn't good.
No. They were held scoreless in the first half.
The Minnesota game's the same way. 300 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Deshaun was awful in the Minnesota game. Awful.
It got much better in the fourth when Minnesota was trying to protect the
lead.
Yes.
Yeah, but that fools people into thinking that Deshaun's doing no wrong when, listen, he's not the focus of why they suck, but he's not getting them out of it either.
No. He's playing good ball, but
he's not playing elite ball.
No, he's not playing elite ball. And well, he's not making elite money. You got to wait till next year.
Well, okay. I'm sure that's what these guys do typically. Once they get paid really well, they get much better. Everybody improves their play. They step it up.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at first half score totals for the Texans. They don't tell the whole story, but against the Chiefs, 7 in the first half, and we know that was a runaway. Actually, we're better against Baltimore, but they are down 20-10 at the half. It's just a lot of Pittsburgh. They had the lead. Minnesota, I think they scored 6. It's just a lot of, okay, you're down by, in some cases, 2 scores at the half. Now you got to throw the ball all the time, and the numbers start to build it. At the end of the day, you're like, man, if only they could get Deshaun more help. And some of that is true, particularly on defense, but it's a lot of single-digit scoring opportunities. Single-digit halves where you're down by 2 scores and your offense has been nothing. And then you start stat compiling late in games. Yeah. And that's consistent outside of the games that are obvious when you're up against Pittsburgh and you beat Jacksonville handily and clearly against Tennessee. But four out of the seven games, it's like you're not scoring and all your points come when you're trailing by 2 to 3 scores.
I think both halves of the Tennessee game, Deshaun Watson played winning football.
Yeah, and the Pittsburgh game.
And they didn't
game,
win. And then the first half of the Pittsburgh game, he was great.
He played great, and then he didn't do anything in the second half.
But they still lose. But he played winning football the whole game against Tennessee, and they still lose. That's hard to blame him. But, you know, the Minnesota game, it's if I were to say, why did you lose the Minnesota game? Deshaun's the first guy I point at. And then you look at his stat line, and you go, well, how can that be? 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. That's phony news. It's fake news. Fake news is those. That's what those numbers are.
Look at my African-American.
That's whoa. Right. Look at my African-American right there.
944. Fake news. Oh, my God. Taking a break. 713-780-3776.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So Odell Beckham is out for the year. He's got $12 million plus guaranteed next year. He's got a roster bonus and the third week that guarantees his full $15 million. If he's on the roster. So, but he's going to get 12 more at least. And you know what? That was painful. Painful to watch. But Odell's another guy. Hey, you know what? How about did you hear the argument last week? And I'm Ryan Clark was apparently on. Odell Beckham and Tom Brady yell at their teammates, yet everybody thinks that, but it's okay for Tom Brady, but it's not. And it's racial. It's racial because nobody lets Odell yell at his teammates, but they let Tom Brady yell at his teammates. What a load of crap. Tom Brady can yell at his teammates because he's got 6 rings because he's the quarterback. Odell's yelling at his quarterback because he doesn't get the ball in a 40-point loss. I mean, come on.
There's a little difference.
It's stupid. It's stupid. The Cowboys are catching it today. Because they didn't go after anybody on the Redskins after Andy Dalton went down.
Well, what should they have done? Stab somebody or?
Yeah, what's the appropriate response when your quarterback gets knocked out of the game like that?
Well, you kind of hope the league's going to suspend him. Guys should have gone after John Bostic. At least had some fire after that guy. Bostic probably gets suspended for that.
No, it looks like he's not going to.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a pretty blatant hit, dude. That was pretty blatant. I mean, I'm not all – there's so many right now, so many targeting calls that you're just like, really? Come on, man. He's making a tackle. Stop. That one, though, dude sliding, and he took his head out.
Yeah, I mean, Mike McCarthy said he wasn't pleased with the reaction of the Cowboys. We speak all the time about playing for one another, protecting one another. It definitely was not the response you would expect.
Well, here's the deal. It was Andy Dalton. If it was Dak, there would have been a major fight on the field. Right?
Yeah, I guess the backup quarterback gets nailed like that. I don't know. What was the score at the time?
Well, 22-3.
At the time, that was the score, so the guys were like, whatever. Well,
and Andy Dalton had thrown for like 75 yards in the game, so they were like.
Some of the Cowboys receivers were like, thank you, Bostic.
9 of 19, 75 yards.
Maybe I'll catch a pass from Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, I mean.
Who knows? Yeah.
Ben DiNucci threw for 39 yards on 2 completions. Like, he's like, whoa.
Amari
Ben
Cooper
DiNucci?
Is like.
Ben DiNucci?
Yeah.
What the?
What?
I didn't say it.
All right.
I mean, I'm like, last time I saw.
He's one of your people, right?
Ben DiNucci was at Fast Times of Ridgemont High. DiNucci?
He's one of yours. You should have been locked
in. He's from Jimmy Madison, baby.
I know.
Baller.
That's it? You got Andy Dalton and then Ben DiNucci?
Well, what are they supposed to have?
He's a third string quarterback.
What do most third string quarterbacks look like?
Who's the Texans' third string emergency quarterback?
They don't even have one.
Yeah, sign one off the street, and he'd probably be a Ben DiNucci type.
Probably be Tom Savage or Brian Hoyer. They'd recycle some guy that's been here already. That's what the Texans would do.
I remember John Beck when he was here.
T.J. Yates, that's who it would be.
When they cut John Beck, they left his locker up. Like, all his stuff was still in. John, you're going to get a call at some point this year. It was weeks after he was gone. 7 weeks in or so, John Beck's locker was still full of all his stuff because they knew, John, just know you'll be our first call.
And did he come back?
I don't remember if they needed him, but they set it up where, hey, John, don't go too far. We might have to call you back. So maybe there is a Tom Savage waiting in the wings or T.J. Yates. T.J. Yates ain't coaching someplace, some high school team he's not coaching. What else does he have to do?
Well, what do they do? They call him. He's got to go. Sorry, kids.
That's true.
Y'all won't win the state anyway.
Are you putting the loss on Todd Gurley?
Actually, T.J. Yates is the assistant quarterbacks coach here, so they would just tell him to take his cap off and put a helmet on.
Yates could just step in.
Yeah, put your helmet on, bro.
No, bite your tongue. Deshaun gets hurt. If Deshaun gets hurt, then this season is lost.
Oh, what? They'll be 0-7 instead of 1-6? Wah.
Yeah. No. Then the season's lost.
What do you think happens to the season?
The season's lost, John. The season's been lost.
No, they can still finish 9-7.
Well,
finish 10-6, AJ.
That's true. Mathematically, that is correct.
Yes. They can finish 10-6.
And you think 9 in a row is likely?
Yeah. What? They should be favored in every game they're in.
Ooh, okay. Don't they?
They weren't even favored yesterday at home.
Well, they shouldn't have been. The Packers are better than them.
And that was easy money.
Who's betting on the Texans against the Packers? The Packers coming off a loss.
Yeah, I mean that was ridiculous. Do you think that Todd Gurley made the mistake?
Yes, he did.
Todd Gurley.
You know who didn't think he made the mistake? Chris Myers on the broadcast, like. I think it was Chris Myers, Greg Jennings, and Brock Heward. Brock Heward was like, oh, you can't do that. You should have kneeled. And Chris Myers was like, no. When you have a chance to score a touchdown, you can't take any chances. Brock Heward was like, see me in 64 seconds. You know who was right?
Sure enough.
Brock Heward.
Yep.
The two former players are like, no, he should have taken a knee. And the broadcaster was like, no, he should have scored a touchdown.
Same with Penn State, man. Same thing.
Screwed both of them.
I mean, you gotta take the. And who was the first? Wasn't it Todd Gurley that actually did that in a game earlier?
Yeah, he said, "Look, the fantasy people got upset with him. Like, look, I'm trying to win the game. I'm not gonna score."
Well, I will say, Todd Gurley, it looked like he tried to stop.
Yeah,
like the defender was almost dragging him in, and then when he was falling, he tried to keep the ball out of the.
He realized too late.
Too late.
That's another instance. Why are you even putting your players in the position? You're close enough. Just kneel. What are we doing here? Just kneel.
Well, it could have bit Cliff yesterday. Well, it did bite Cliff at first because Kyler Murray loses about 5 yards. He sends out the kicker.
And then
he
missed it.
He has to call his own timeout. And then the kicker misses. Well, and Gonzalez pulls it.
That's different. You're setting up a 40-plus yard field goal. And it was less than that, but didn't they try to get it on the hash that Zane Gonzalez liked and Kyler got stopped? Why aren't you just the three carries before, Chase Edmonds broke off a long run, had another nice game, then Kyler, like, did a quarterback sweep, whatever it was, for about 4 or 5 yards, hand the ball off to Chase Edmonds
even
again.
From a, like, risking your quarterback's health standpoint to do something like that, why would they run that play with Kyler? I didn't get it.
I don't understand any of it.
Well, and they had 17 seconds left. They could have run another play and got him some more yards.
17 seconds. I thought that was the play before the Russ pick, right? We're talking. Didn't they try to set up? And it was like 2 minutes left in the game. Right?
Yeah, it was like two. There was 2 minutes and some. 2 minutes and ten seconds or something.
That was the overtime. That's right.
Yeah.
And he kicked it on second down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of just hand the ball off to Chase Edmonds, Cliff comes from the college ranks where he knows you don't trust a kicker outside 40 yards. But then don't trust your kicker for a game winner when it's 40-plus when you don't need to. It wasn't the last play of the game. The Seahawks defense was tired. Hand the ball off to your back and go get 5-6 more yards and then kick it. And by the way, I've never understood. It used to be a thing where people were like, well, they're kicking it on third down because if they muff the snap, then they have another time. How many times have you seen a bad snap on a kick and then the kicker and the holder falls on it? That never happens.
No.
Well, it could though.
It could, but it never. But even when the snap is high, the the guy always gets it down. He never just grabs it. I'm going to fall on this, and we're going to do this over. It never happens. Just run a couple more plays and get
make it as easy
make it as easy as possible.
Can.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe you break one and score a touchdown. Maybe you don't even have to kick a field goal. Coaches play scared, and it almost cost Cliff on last night.
You want to talk to James real quick, or you want to catch him on the other side of the hour?
Yeah, any other side. 955 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
ESPN 97.5.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.